Chapter 8. On Monday, Daryl did not want to go to school. The next break wouldn't be until Christmas, and all he could see was an endless string of miserable days stretching in front of him. Before he left, he grabbed the two peanut butter sandwiches he had hidden from his mother that morning and put them in his backpack. During morning classes, Daryl could not concentrate on the day's lessons. He kept wondering if his life would change, but he also had another question, one he got from Hatchet. What should I do to change things? Daryl was putting books into his locker just before lunch when someone shoved him from behind, sending his body halfway into the locker. The side of his head hit the metal door with a loud thud. Then he heard familiar laughter. It was Tyrae and Rodney.
Tyrae, I told you to be more careful in the hallway. You might hurt somebody, Rodney said.
Daryl looked up to see the two of them already halfway down the corridor. Daryl wanted to yell. He had given them his mother's money, and they were still hurting him. Yet he knew if he said anything to either of them, his treatment would only get worse. Daryl felt trapped again. He glanced in his backpack. One of his sandwiches had been crushed when Tyrae shoved him, and it leaked peanut butter into the inside of his bag. The smell of peanut butter was on everything. Great, he said to himself. Not only am I small and weak, but now I stink. He grabbed his backpack, slammed his locker shut, and rubbed the growing bump on his forehead. He knew other students in the hallway saw what happened. Some had even laughed with Tyrae. Others just watched. Now, as he looked around, everyone seemed to ignore him, acting as if nothing happened. Quickly, Daryl slung his backpack on his shoulder and headed to the cafeteria to meet Harold. He was imagining Tyrae and Rodney teasing him for smelling like peanut butter when he noticed a yellow piece of paper taped next to the cafeteria door. It read, "Build confidence. Gain strength. Join the Blueford wrestling team. No experience required. Freshmen welcome. See Coach Lewis for more information." A picture of two guys wrestling was on the sign. Those words again, he thought. Confidence and strength. His pulse quickened. Those two words were what he wanted.
But there's no way I can wrestle, he said aloud.
Then he looked around to see if anyone had heard him. One girl with long braids stopped and looked at him as if he was crazy, then walked into the cafeteria.
I'm too small, he thought. People will laugh at me the second I step onto a wrestling mat.
Then those words echoed in his mind again. Confidence and strength.
But I'm the weakest kid in this school, he thought.
Confidence and strength was the response. Daryl was torn. He decided to talk about wrestling to Harold.
Wrestling? Harold exclaimed when he told him about the sign. Are you crazy? Have you ever seen a wrestling match? It's not the dumb stuff you see on TV with big guys who pull each other's hair. It's for real. That's the last sport I'd join if I were you.
Yeah, you're right, Daryl replied. He had felt the same way. But as he picked through his crushed peanut butter sandwich, Daryl thought about what Harold said. What did he mean by the words, "if I were you"?
He meant that a skinny guy like me doesn't belong on the wrestling team, Daryl thought.
He looked at Harold. Harold silently put a spoonful of chocolate pudding into his mouth. As Daryl watched him, he realized something. Harold was scared too, maybe even more scared than he was.
And all he's going to do is sit here at this lunch table hiding from everyone, Daryl thought.
He imagined the whole year ahead of him, maybe all 4 years of high school, passing like his first few weeks at Blueford. Daryl could not live like that. He could not live in fear. He did not want to. Daryl thought about Hatchet and how Brian realized the same thing and then forced himself to change. And he did it alone.
Maybe Harold isn't ready for a change, Daryl thought, but I am.
I gotta do something, Harold. Harold looked at him and then looked quickly down at his tray.
I'm going to see Coach Lewis, Darryl said, getting up.
Darryl was nervous as he walked to Coach Lewis's office. Never had he imagined himself joining a wrestling team. As he was about to knock on the door, he considered turning around and heading back to the cafeteria. Then he thought of Brian and knocked.
Come on in, said a deep voice from behind the door.
Darryl walked in.
Hi, I'm Darryl Mercer, Darryl stammered nervously. I'm here to see the coach, Coach Lewis.
That's me, Darryl. How can I help you?
Coach Lewis was a muscular black man with cropped hair speckled with gray. The cinder block walls of his office were covered with newspaper clippings, and a few trophies were in a case across from his desk.
I saw the wrestling poster in the hallway. I wanted to know if I can join,
Darryl said. He thought about how small he was and got embarrassed. He didn't look the coach in the eye.
I'm new at Blueford, and I ain't ever wrestled before.
Darryl, I don't care what you've done in the past. What I want to know is what you want to do now.
Coach Lewis looked at him. Darryl felt like a little toddler in his gaze.
Wrestling is a tough sport. A lot of kids join up, but they quit after a few practices. And that's a waste of time, theirs and mine.
Darryl felt the coach may have been trying to tell him not to join. Coach Lewis continued.
The real answer to your question, Darryl, will come from you, not me. I can teach any kid to wrestle as long as he is willing to work at it. I'm looking for kids who are going to make a commitment. If you are one of those kids, I want you to come to practice with us. The choice is yours. Remember, the sport is like anything else in life. You've got to work hard to get good at it, and it takes time. But if you stick with it, you will grow. You'll grow inside and out. I promise you that, he said, smiling at Darryl.
Does it matter I'm so small? Darryl asked. I think I only weigh about 100 pounds.
Well, let's see what you weigh,
Coach Lewis said. He walked Darryl over to a nearby scale.
110 pounds, he said.
Darryl could not believe it. His mind started to spin. He had gained 10 pounds since he had stood on a scale at the doctor's office in Philadelphia last summer when he had to take a physical before enrolling in high school. The doctor had said he was in good health, but small. Now he was 10 pounds bigger. 10 pounds. It was finally true, he thought. He was growing.
Wrestling isn't like football or basketball. You don't need to be bigger to be better. Wrestling is sort of like boxing. You always go against an opponent who is the same weight as you, so it isn't size that makes you win. It's strength, endurance, and most of all, brains. So don't worry about your weight.
Darryl did not exactly feel relieved. He lacked strength and endurance just as much as he lacked size. As far as brains were concerned, Darryl could only guess that they were small too, especially when it came to wrestling. Coach Lewis seemed to sense Darryl's thoughts.
Listen, Darryl, I've seen kids start wrestling in high school who were lighter than you. I've seen two of them become state champions. So quit worrying. It doesn't get you anywhere. If you want to accomplish something, you got to get to work.
He handed a form to Darryl.
If you want to join the team, you've got to fill this out and have your parent or guardian sign it. Get it to me tomorrow and you can start practice then, okay? I hope to see you there, Darryl.
Darryl left Coach Lewis's office feeling different. He had not even filled out the form, but he still felt different. He knew he was going to join the wrestling team. The next day, Darryl brought the form back completed and signed. His mother was happy to sign it, though she was barely awake when she scratched her name across the paper. Longer hours at work made her more exhausted in the evenings. When he took the sheet from her, she gave him a hug and told him she wanted to see his first match.
We'll see, Mom, he had said.
He could not imagine himself wrestling. At lunchtime, Darryl told Harold that he had decided to join the wrestling team.
Maybe I made a mistake, Harold, but I'm sick of feeling like a nobody. I'm thinking it might help, you know, he explained.
Harold shrugged.
I know how you feel, Darryl, he said sadly. Let me know what happens, Maybe I'll join one day.
Just then, Darryl noticed Amber Lynn Bailey walk with Jamie Willis to a nearby table. Amber Lynn wore jeans that rested snugly on her hips.
Man, don't she look good? Darryl sighed. That girl's fine.
You ever tell her you like her? Harold asked.
No, are you crazy? I may be stupid, but I ain't that stupid. She don't want someone like me.
Darryl shook his head.
For one thing, she's taller than me, he added.
Harold laughed between bites of his lunch, a cheeseburger with bacon.
I did talk to her a few times. She's real nice. Sometimes, anyway.
Darryl continued, remembering the day she ignored him in class.
Maybe she's different than other girls, Harold said.
Maybe she likes you.
Yeah, right,
Darryl replied bitterly. But inside his heart, a tiny flame of hope burned, one so small and frail that he was afraid to admit it even existed. After his final class, Darryl went to his first wrestling practice. He was nervous as he put his books in his locker and made his way back to the gymnasium. He had never been at Blueford this late in the day. As he rounded the corner and headed to the gym, he saw a group of cheerleaders walk by on their way to practice. Amber Lynn was one of them. Darryl's heart fluttered as he watched her walk by in the blue and gold uniform. He noticed the graceful way she walked and the muscular shape of her calves as she moved down the hallway. She did not seem to notice him. When Darryl got to the gym, he went straight to the locker room. It was much different this late in the day. The only people there were athletes. The guys changing out of their school clothes were bigger and more muscular than the average Blueford student. Surrounded by this group, Darryl stood out even more than usual.
"What are you here for?" said a kid with a shaved head and the hint of a mustache.
Darryl had seen the kid in the cafeteria, but he never spoke to him before.
"I'm going to wrestling practice," Darryl answered nervously.
His voice scratched as he spoke.
"You? You're kidding, right?"
the kid asked.
"Look at you."
Just then, Coach Lewis came into the locker room. He looked over at Darryl and nodded with a smile.
"Okay, gentlemen, there are a few new people here today. I want you to welcome them and help them out as they get used to our system. For you older guys, I want you to remember what it was like when you first started. Be patient. For you new guys, this may be the hardest thing you've ever done. Work hard, follow the older guys, and don't give up. Okay, everyone, let's get started."
When Coach Lewis finished talking, a group of about 20 guys headed out to the gymnasium. Darryl followed them. Immediately, they went over to one side of the huge room. In the corner were four thick ropes reaching from the floor to the ceiling of the gym. Quickly, the group broke into four lines, one by each rope. Darryl watched in horror as the line leaders climbed the ropes hand over hand without using their legs.
"There's no way I can do this," Darryl thought. "No way."
As Darryl watched, he saw that not all the kids were able to go up using their arms. Some had to use their legs to help. Others barely reached the top.
"They must be the new people," he thought.
Then it was Darryl's turn. First, he tried to climb with only his arms, but he could not hoist his weight. When he used his legs, he felt like a giant inchworm climbing on a leaf. Yet for all his effort, he moved up only a few feet. Halfway up the rope, he was exhausted. Unable to hold on any longer, he let go and fell to the ground, embarrassed. Instantly, another kid took his place on the rope and climbed to the top. Darryl shook his head and walked to the back of the line. When everyone was done climbing, the group started to jog laps around the gym. Darryl was glad they were doing something he could do. Even though he was discouraged by the ropes, he still could not believe he was practicing with the wrestling team. Never in a million years would he have guessed that he would be doing such a thing. For a few minutes, he was almost proud of himself. Then the pace of the jog picked up, and he started to hurt. The jog lasted about 20 minutes. Darryl was grateful when it ended. He was tired, sweaty, and out of breath. He thought everyone would rest but then he realized the group was moving over to the other side of the gym where the wrestling mats were set up. Darryl nervously stepped onto one of the huge blue and yellow mats. It smelled like rubber and felt soft and squishy, like a giant sponge. "Now we're going to start our workout," declared the team captain. A few people groaned. The word "start" echoed in Darryl's brain. What had he been doing if they were just starting now, he wondered. For 45 more minutes, the team exercised. They did push-ups, sit-ups, leg raises, jumping jacks, and a series of painful drills with names like mountain climbers, squat thrusts, and lunges. Towards the end of the last drills, Darryl's arms and legs trembled, and his heart pounded. A few sharp cramps shot down the side of his stomach, making him want to double over. Yet he stayed with the group, barely. The next half hour of practice was wrestling drills. Darryl watched, learned, and practiced how to throw a standing person down in three different ways. He also learned how to avoid being thrown if someone tried to use the takedowns on him. He was not skilled with the moves, but he got to know what they were. He liked learning the skills. It made him feel as if he had a secret weapon, one he could use if he ever needed it. During the final half hour of practice, Darryl was assigned to wrestle with two other kids in his weight group. He was happy to see guys his size, even though they were much more muscular than he was. Coach Lewis explained that the three people in each group would take turns wrestling. Two would wrestle while one rested. The matches were to last for 1 minute. 1 minute seemed short to Darryl, especially since they had been exercising for almost 2 hours already. Yet once he started actually wrestling, 1 minute seemed like an eternity. In his first match, Darryl wrestled a kid named Craig. In about 15 seconds, Craig hoisted Darryl into the air and slammed his body down sideways onto the mat. Darryl felt his face bounce off the mat's rubber surface. As Darryl struggled to get up, Craig jammed his forearm into Darryl's nose, hooked his arm, and pried him over onto his back. Darryl felt like a turtle turned upside down on its shell. Before he knew what was happening, Darryl's arms and legs were so tangled that he was unable to move. He could barely even breathe.
"You're pinned, Darryl," explained Coach Lewis.
Craig let Darryl up.
"That means you lose the match. Never roll onto your back," the coach added, and moved on to another group.
"Don't worry," said Craig. "You're still learning, that's all. Luis and I have wrestled for 2 years.
Sure, Darryl thought. Why worry?
His back ached, his face was bruised, and he had lost in front of the head coach.
Everything is wonderful.
In the next match, Darryl wrestled Luis. The result was nearly the same. Only this time, Darryl noticed, he was not pinned until just before the minute was over.
Maybe that's improvement, he thought.
Practice ended with a drill Coach Lewis called steps, in which each member of the team carries someone of his weight or more up 3 flights of steps. Once a pair reached the top, they sprinted back to the bottom and switched places. Craig carried Darryl on his back up the entire length with ease. When it was Darryl's turn, each step was a struggle. His legs ached and wobbled. At one point, he thought he was going to collapse, sending himself and Craig tumbling down the steps. After he finally reached the top, Craig slapped him in the chest. "Good job," he said.
"Thanks," Darryl answered, managing a slight smile.
When practice finally ended, Darryl could barely walk. His day at Blueford was over 3 hours longer than it would have been if he had not gone to practice. He still had to walk the mile back to his house, and he still had homework to do. He had no idea wrestling would be so hard. By the time he got home, it was almost 7 o'clock.
"How was your first practice, Darryl?" his mother asked when he walked in the door. "I was worried about you. You look exhausted."
"It was great, Mom," he mumbled, almost too tired to talk. He did notice that in addition to feeling tired, he also had an incredible, growling hunger. Slowly, he trudged into the kitchen to the refrigerator. He devoured Thanksgiving leftovers as if he had not eaten in weeks, washing everything down with 3 glasses of cherry Kool-Aid.
"Honey, if you keep eating like that, you are really going to grow," she said with a smile.
"I hope so, Mom. I really hope so." After dinner, Darryl forced himself to do his algebra homework and then went to bed. He slept better than he had since the days before his mother told him they had to leave Philadelphia. The next morning, Darryl could hardly move. Every joint in his body was stiff, and his ribs hurt whenever he inhaled. When he tried to stretch, hot knives of pain ripped into his back and sides. He could barely even raise his arms to brush his teeth. And once, when he sneezed, he felt as if his whole upper body was going to shatter and fall to the floor like a broken window. He felt like he had aged 50 years in one night. After packing his lunch, Darryl left for school, making sure not to take the main street to Bluford. Darryl arrived in English class a bit early, and Mr. Mitchell had not yet entered the classroom. When he sat in his seat, he noticed Anne Boleyn smiling at him. She was wearing black jeans and a snug white t-shirt. It seemed to him that it was the first time she noticed him in weeks.
"How's it going, Darryl?" she asked in a friendly voice.
Darryl thought her voice sounded like music. For a second, he felt happy at Bluford. Finally, someone talked to him, someone who was attractive and friendly.
"Pretty good," he said, smiling back at her. "Were you working out with the wrestling team yesterday?" she asked.
"Yeah, that was my first practice," he replied.
"Are you really going to be a wrestler, Darryl?"
He was surprised at the look on her face and the excited sound of her voice. He wasn't sure how to answer. Darryl couldn't imagine himself as a wrestler. The word just didn't seem to fit him. He knew he was the weakest person on the team, and he wondered if he would be able to last through another practice, let alone the whole season. Still, he didn't want to quit. Quitting would mean that nothing would change. He would be back where he started when he first set foot in Bluford. He shuddered as the images of Tyree and Rodney flashed in his mind.
"I guess," Darryl said.
A wide smile spread across Amberlynn's face.
"Well, Darryl, I love to watch guys wrestling. Maybe I'll see you at a match one day."
Darryl's heart fluttered. There was no way he would quit wrestling now. No way. Just then, a group of students entered the classroom. Tyree and Rodney were among them. They stopped and glanced over at Darryl before moving to their seats. Darryl could tell that they noticed Mr. Mitchell's absence. Tyree whispered something to Rodney, and the two strolled slowly towards their desks like hawks circling their prey.
"Hey, Anne Boleyn, you got a new boyfriend? Are you sweating that midget from Philadelphia?"
Tyree asked with a sneer as he pointed at Darryl. Nearly everyone in the class turned to watch what was happening. A few kids giggled, and Anne Boleyn turned away from Darryl. He could tell she was embarrassed. Amberlynn's friend Jamie glared back at Tyree.
"Why don't you shut up, Tyree? It's none of your business what Anne Boleyn does," she said.
"Hey, it must be true," Tyree said. "Anne Boleyn, you like this little punk? He may be small, but he's the biggest fool I know. Look at his sorry face. Can't you do better than that?"
Rodney and a few other kids cackled out loud. Darryl wanted to disappear, to hide under his desk. He was embarrassed for himself, but he also felt guilty that he was causing embarrassment for Anne Boleyn. He wished for her sake that they'd never met.
"I don't like him or anyone right now," Anne Boleyn answered.
"I heard this punk joined the wrestling team. You know, Anne Boleyn, if you want to watch your little man wrestle, you're going to have to go back to elementary school. He's going to have to wrestle 4th graders because he's so tiny."
Again, some students chuckled. Darryl could understand why the kids laughed at him, but he couldn't see why they laughed at Anne Boleyn.
What was so funny? He wondered.
Maybe the other kids went along with Tyree because they were afraid of him. That would make them all cowards, Darryl thought bitterly. At least he wasn't encouraging Tyree to hurt anyone. Everyone else who laughed along was.
"Tyree, just leave me alone,"
Amberlynn yelled.
I don't have a boyfriend.
Just shut your stupid mouth, Tyree, Jamie added.
Uh-oh, now you're sicking your ugly friend Jamie on me,
Tyree said.
Your wrestler boyfriend ain't man enough to stand up for himself, so you gotta send your girl after me. Man, she's almost as ugly as a little midget. She's more of a man than he is, too,
Tyree announced. Then Rodney and about half of the class laughed even louder. Darryl squirmed in his seat. He didn't want anyone to know that he had been paying Tyree to leave him alone. Then the whole class would think he was an even bigger fool than he seemed right now. He knew if he said anything, Tyree would jump all over him, showing no mercy. Darryl remained silent, hoping Mr. Mitchell would walk in. He wished he had never come to Bluford. He wanted to walk out of the high school and never return.
He's not my boyfriend, Amberlynn screamed. I don't even like him. You hear me? I don't even like him.
Tyree smiled, and he and the rest of the class looked at Darryl. Darryl got up from his desk and left the room. Never in his life was he so humiliated. He fought hard to keep tears from rolling down his face as he walked out. He didn't want anyone to see him cry, but he couldn't stop himself. He ran to the nearest bathroom, went into a stall, sat down on the dirty floor, and sobbed. A few kids were hurrying out of the bathroom when he arrived, but none of them seemed to notice him. The first bell soon sounded, signaling the start of classes. Mr. Mitchell must have arrived by now, but Darryl did not want to go back to class. He never wanted to go to that room again. He looked at his rumpled backpack on the floor, still open from when he was in English. Inside, he saw his copy of Hatchet. Quickly, he yanked it out of the bag and threw it out of the stall. He heard it strike the metal trash can across the room.
I hate this place,
he said out loud, tears running down the side of his face. But then Darryl started to think of Hatchet. First, he worried about what Mr. Mitchell would say if he lost his book. Then he remembered why the teacher had given it to him in the first place. To make me stronger on the inside, Darryl thought. He walked out of the stall and picked up the book. Carefully, he opened the cover and leafed through the pages. He stopped at the section where Brian was starving and his leg was full of sharp porcupine quills. For 10 minutes, Darryl read over and over again how Brian cried about what had happened to him, but then realized self-pity would not solve his problems. Darryl flipped to the end scene and read his favorite part, when Brian survived and became a strong, confident young man. Darryl realized he could not just give up. Like Brian, he hated what had happened, but crying in the bathroom didn't solve anything. Darryl knew he had to get back to class. He knew he would be ashamed to walk back into the room in the middle of the lesson, that all the kids would turn and stare at him. Yet he also knew he would be more ashamed if he never went back. Darryl wondered if Mr. Mitchell would punish him for being late. Since it would be the first time he was late, Darryl hoped Mr. Mitchell would give him a break. He put the copy of Hatchet back into his backpack and walked down the hallway towards the classroom. He could feel his heart pounding as he approached the door.
I won't look at Amberlynn ever again, he thought.
Then he walked in and sat down. Mr. Mitchell glanced at him as he entered the room, but then quickly resumed his lesson. The rest of the class stared at him for a second and then went back to their work. The only person who did not look at him was Amberlynn Bailey.